Good morning. If you want to follow along, go to the book of Proverbs. I'm going to use three verses in Proverbs for my text, and you can follow along if you'd like. Good crowd. Praise the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's, excuse me, Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that we have in our hands. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit that you've given. We thank you, Lord, for such a great salvation given to us freely that we did not deserve and is a gift by your love. Take your word and touch our hearts today. Give us wisdom. Draw us close to you. Move upon any heart that needs to be saved. And Lord, we'd ask you to bless your people. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Some fear is a good thing. You ought to fear a gun. You ought to fear a swimming pool. You ought to fear a car. You ought to fear speed. Goodness gracious. How many of us are speeders? I've been one all my life. Now, as an old man, I'm not quite that way. But I wasn't smart enough to slow down on my own. I just had to get old. But you know something? People, I see it in driving. They're crazy. They do not pay attention to what they ought to be paying attention to. I see them going 60, 70 miles an hour and they got 10 feet between the cars. If something comes up, you don't have a chance, but you got to have to hit somebody. I used to ride a motorcycle. I was a school teacher and I rode a motorcycle to work quite often. But you know, I got to thinking about it. I got afraid because on the expressway, the car behind me, I'm on a motorcycle, is 10 yards. I don't stand a chance. One day I headed out for school. It was a real slick morning. And I pulled out just about a block from my house. And this lady backed out the longest car I think I've ever seen. And she did not back out and turn, you know, one way or the other. She just backed out across the street. And I laid my motorcycle down and slid right up to about an inch of her car. And then I felt around. My knees were all right and my elbows were all right. I turned that motorcycle around, rode it back home, and sold it. Well, the fear is a pretty good thing. You ought to all know that there's trouble out there. Do you ever watch the news? I watch the news about an hour every day. 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock maybe. And you know, people are doing things that just are unreasonable. And doing things that are just so wicked, you wonder where in the world did they get their imagination? I cannot imagine some of the things that are going on and you see it in the news. And how many wars are going on around the world? How many people are suffering? Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you don't fear the Lord, you don't even have the beginning.
Right, that's true.
I don't care if you've got two or three PhDs and THDs and whatever letters behind your name. If you don't fear the Lord, you don't have the beginning steps of wisdom.
Right.
You can look at this world, and it is a complicated world.
Amen.
things that go on in your body? In your blood, your blood sends out soldiers to fight against disease and whatever, all through your body. God made this thing really something else. You look out there and that universe, it's gotten so much bigger as I've lived. They've got it beyond imagination. And you know something? It runs on precision. I mean, there's super intelligence. If you can look at that and know, hey, you know why this pulpit's here? Because I paid a guy to build it. It's been built. This didn't happen automatically.
Amen.
He was a good carpenter and a very good carpenter. The same way about all things in the world. How complicated is it?
Yeah. Amen.
They tell us that there's billions and billions of stars and galaxies. And the bigger the telescope, just the more we find.
Yeah.
Wow. That impresses me.
Right.
And also, you can go into a little science lab, maybe in middle school, and go out to a little pond and pull you a little bit of water out. Put a drop of it under a microscope, and you will find a world in that little drop.
Yeah.
We look at the atoms, and I don't know if anybody sees these atoms, but they tell us that there's a great deal of space in between the working of any atom. God's awful intelligent.
Amen.
If you can look at that and say that's an accident, and then you come to life. Hey, the most fun I've had is because I'm alive.
Amen.
And that's where you have your fun, because you're alive.
Right.
And who gave you that life?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
God gave the life. God's great creation, I don't think we've touched it yet. As big as it is, and as much complication as there is in looking at it and studying it and trying to think about it, man, how big does God get? Have you ever thought about how big God really is? And just to think, He loves you. He thought about you. He made a gospel about you. That's what this whole book is about. It's about God loving you enough to give you forgiveness of sins, to create spiritual life down inside your soul, and to forgive you of your sins in the person of Jesus Christ. The fear of the Lord. Solomon was a pretty smart fellow. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's your first basic thing. You ought to fear God.
Amen.
Looking at all that happens and knowing that your life is, it's pretty fluid. You may live 20 more years or 100 more years. You might not live till tomorrow.
Right.
How many of us know? We don't know anything.
Right.
Come to think of it, I'm afraid of God. I'm afraid of making God mad. You know, I loved my father and I respected him very much. I was afraid of disappointing him. One day I disappointed him. I did something I thought was real smart, and by the time he got through thinking about it with me, he wasn't so smart. I had this fear that he would be disappointed in my reasoning, disappointed in my heart, disappointed in my purposes. Well, that's the way it is with God. God knows every thought you've ever had. You cannot even think by yourself because God's there. You don't have to get down on your knees and close your eyes and clasp your hands or be in a holy place to pray. You can be driving down the car, driving down the road in the car, and in your mind talk to God. And He's there to listen. It's a wonderful book. You ought to read it.
Amen.
You ought to read it sometime. You ought to just keep just reading it.
Yes.
It might bring the fear of God to you. And boy, that is a blessing. It says at the very beginning of knowledge. But it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I had a class in school. I was a school teacher most of my life. And I had a 8th grade class that was my homeroom. And generally I didn't worry about teaching them anything. I was just there to pass out different things and whatever. And that's just the way the school system works. But they were all flunking math. And so I went to the teacher and I said, what are you talking about? He says, they don't want to learn. I said, okay. So I went back and I took a month to teach them the multiplication tables. They did not want to learn. They didn't care. I had another boy in one of my English classes. He was great football player, Hispanic. Jesse Sanchez was his name. And he only came to school to play football. He never turned a paper in. He couldn't care less if he flunked. Didn't make any difference to him whatsoever. All he wanted to do was play football. Are you that way about God's word and God's truth? Are you that way about God's will? Do you have any concern about what God wants out of your life? Well, if you read the Bible, you'd find God very much interested in you. And there's wisdom in that Bible.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom instruction. Is that you? I don't know you. Is that you? It's not me. I want to know what God's will is.
Yeah.
I want to know what pleases God. I want to know, see if I can possibly in my life do a good work, a work that would please the Father and He would be proud of, that He could brag on me instead of criticize me. Fools despise wisdom. Fools despise wisdom. Proverbs 1:29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. It's a choice. I remember when I was going to church in my young years, up to 12 or 14, something like that. And I made a profession of faith, but it didn't change me. I wasn't really saved. I did believe that Jesus was the Christ, and I believed the Bible was the Word of God. I believed there was salvation to be had. But I was just like any other one. I didn't care too much. I got married to Verlene, and Verlene was a better Christian than I was. So I joined the Baptist church. They said, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Yes, all my life I believe Jesus is Christ. Do you believe you need to be saved? Yeah, sure, I need to be saved. Well, we were married. I was in the Air Force in Roslyn, New Mexico. And my neighbor got saved. They had a real on-fire Baptist church in Roswell. And he got saved. Well, he got concerned for me. Well, I went to church every once in a while, and I thought I was going plenty. Fools despise wisdom and instruction, you know. At any rate, he got a preacher to come to my house. And that preacher stayed there about 3 hours talking to me, answering my questions. Of course, I asked him all the regular questions. I always did like to argue. His answer was, the Bible says.
Amen.
The Bible says. The Bible says. When he left the house that night, I read Genesis. All 50 chapters. Because he was coming back, and I was going to have some ammunition to the arguments. At any rate, I got saved. God changed my life. And you know, that's such a wonderful difference. Being a church member and being saved. You can be a church member and not be saved.
Amen.
They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Well, I made a choice to try to understand the Bible, and man, it took. I've been reading the Bible and still read it every day. I say every day. I might miss some days, but most every day I read the Bible. Proverbs 3:7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. Beginning of knowledge, beginning of wisdom, put you on the right road, save your soul, forgive your sins, change your life. God gives us mercy. If you're going to go to heaven, you're not going to be the best around. You're going to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to your account.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a gift.
Amen.
You don't work for it. You don't pay for it. You never could pay for it.
Right. Amen.
Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Why fear the Lord? Because God is going to judge you.
Right.
And in fact, he's judging you every day of your life right now. With all of our ability to record things and put them into computers and whatever, what do you think God has? He's listening to you when you think. He watches everything you do. You don't have anything that you're hidden from him. You might think you can hide, but you can't hide.
Right.
So Proverbs 3:7 says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord and quit doing the bad things. Psalm 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. That's a lot of faith. But it's true. We've seen the martyrs throughout history that feared God so much. They didn't fear death. They didn't fear pain. They didn't fear other things like that. They stood with their firm belief in the Lord. In the same Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. It's a lot of faith. Psalm 103 verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Wow. Maybe the fear of God's a pretty good thing. It might be the wisest thought you ever had. And you might ought to order your life a little bit that way.
Right.
Psalm 103:11 has a verse that just blesses my heart. For as the heaven is high above the earth. How high is the heaven above the earth? It goes out there a long ways. So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Wow. Isn't that a verse?
Yeah.
You ought to put that on your dash or your car.
Right.
The mercy of the Lord. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. Psalm 103:11, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Psalm 103 verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. It's happening every day, and it has happened throughout all history. What you do affects your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and your lineage. Here's what it says. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. How long is that? Upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. What a blessing to your family. Or are you a curse to your family? If you don't fear God and you don't walk in the Word, in the way of righteousness and love and compassion and mercy, my, what you do to your family. You ever thought about David? David was a great man. He was a genius in certain ways. He certainly was a brave man as a young teenager to take his rocks and go up against a 10-foot giant as tall as that wall is right over there. Well, can you imagine? I can't imagine going out against a guy like that. Unless I had a .357 maybe. But he had his sling and his stone. He is an ancestor of Jesus Christ. Jesus is being on the throne of David. David wrote many psalms, maybe most of them, even some of them that don't have his name. You take a look at him, he had a spiritual insight. Tremendous. How much understanding of God he had in the Old Testament. One day he commits adultery with Bathsheba, young wife of one of his soldiers. At this time, he probably had 10 or 20 wives. And they were beautiful women. If he had lust, he could have gone home and done what the Bible tells you to do with your lust. Satisfy each other in the marriage. But he didn't do that. He took this wife of Uriah, committed adultery. And then she's pregnant. What's he going to do about it? Well, he does his best to get around it. Bring Uriah home. Give him a little vacation. Send him in to his wife. But no, that's not going to do it. Uriah was a man with character. He went to sleep at the door. Didn't even go into his house. David makes out his command to his nephew, his nephew, Joab. Put Uriah in the front where valiant men die. And he puts it in Uriah's hand to give to Joab. That's how trusting Uriah was. And David knew it. Now David is trying to get out of a mess that he got in because of just simple lust. And he works it all around. Uriah's killed. After the mourning, he marries Bathsheba. She was his wife on down to her son became the next king. But the sword never departed from the house of David. What he did came back to him. One of his sons raped one of his daughters. David didn't do a thing about it. Here's the king, but he's not doing anything about it. That makes the brother of the lady that was raped angry at his father, the judge. You have Absalom. Wow. You look at David's family throughout the generations, and wow, did he pay for that. You got to watch what you do, because it's not just over in a minute. It may go with you the very rest of your life. And then it might go into your children and your grandchildren. What you do and how you live and who you trust and who you serve makes a difference, not just in your life and in your local family's life, but in your future.
Amen.
In their future. Eddie's supposed to be watching this one this morning. Hi, Ed. Eddie was lacking 7 days being a year old. And I loved that boy. I walked into his bedroom and looked down at him in innocence. And I thought about my dad. He didn't cuss. He didn't drink. He didn't run around. He was a really fine man. And I cussed and drank and smoked and run around and whatever. And I looked at him, and I, in my head, in my thinking, I thought, my daddy didn't do these things, but I'd do them. If Eddie does the same thing and grows up in proportion to me as I am to my dad, he's going to be a wicked man. And he brought me under such tremendous conviction. What's that baby going to be like? I started praying. Prayed for 2.5 hours. I didn't know enough to say, Lord, forgive me all my sins. I was trying to name them. Wow. I got changed. I have my friends. I'd tell them about it. Man, I got saved. I called on the Lord. I got saved. They'd say, yeah, you got a bad dose of religion. It'll be over in a couple of weeks. Well, it happens that way for a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's true. They got a couple of weeks of religion, and then they'd never get back to it again. It changed my life. Changed my family. They told me you'll get over in a couple of weeks. Well, it's 67 years. I got saved 67 years ago. It's better now than it was then. I'm looking forward to heaven. I've got preachers in my sons. And my daughters are married to preachers too sometimes. There we go. I have been so blessed all my life. Wow. What gifts of God that come to you. I'm glad I don't cuss anymore. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying I got to change. I quit smoking, drinking, and gambling. I don't miss it. I'm thankful. I probably would have died of the black lung. I started smoking when I was 5. True. My uncle, my daddy was being operated on, and my uncle had a brand new cigar in its paper. And I didn't want to leave him in the hospital in Temple. And he said, Lendl, I'll give you half of this cigar if you go home with me. I said, okay. So he says I smoked it and never coughed a drop. And that started me. How wise are you? Do you have the beginning of wisdom? Do you have enough sense to fear disappointing God? You ought to.
Yes.
Man, how much of your life depends upon God?
Amen.
You gotta fear diseases, you gotta fear car wrecks, you gotta fear criminals, you gotta fear little bitty bugs. You gotta fear some things that you that are in your mouth right now and not in your bloodstream. Spinal meningitis. That can kill you. The mercy of the Lord. Wow. The mercy of the Lord. Not the justice of the Lord. We know God is a just God. And yet he does not use that with us. He made a way that you could be righteous.
Amen.
He made a way. Wow, and what a way. So many people, as Brent was preaching, so many people think they are going to go to heaven because they're good. I used to think, well, I sure hope maybe that I get in the upper half, say half people go to heaven, half people don't go. And I'm right on that edge and all.
Right.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
If you read the Bible, that's not anything at all.
Amen.
If you don't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it.
Amen.
If you're trying to make it on your own by doing good works or giving up certain things or pleasing God in a certain way, you're mistaking it. You've already sinned so many sins, you didn't stand a chance. Did you ever keep the law? No, not on your life. Tell me you're a law keeper. Just go read them. Just read the Ten Commandments. How about the New Testament when Jesus talks about righteousness? Love the Lord your God with all your whole hope, all your mind, all your soul. You love God that much? I don't. I know that I fail that I don't. But I'm convicted continually that I don't love God enough.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven on the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's the only way it could be secure.
Amen.
It's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and paid the debt for you and me and all everybody. And there is no one else that could have done that. He did it for you because he loved you. And what an example of love. Well, you look in the New Testament and Jesus puts it down just two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. I bought me a new car. I didn't buy any of the rest of you a car. That's how much I love you. It's a gift. It's a gift. Give it in your head. Let it go down deep in your heart. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You're not good enough to go to heaven. You never will be. You can quit drinking and gambling and cussing and running around and you still won't go to heaven. Because you wouldn't have anything to pay for those sins that you've already done. But what God did was Christ came and took upon himself a human body. He lived a perfect life.
Yes.
Amen. He was wrongfully sentenced to death. He could have called 12 legions of angels, 72,000 angels. One angel slew 185 soldiers in the Old Testament. One night. What do you think that many angels would do if God wanted to wipe out everything? Wow. It's a gift. And all you can do is thank God for it.
Amen.
You can receive it and thank God for it, and that's your only hope. I think it's the most beautiful story that ever could be told. The Gospels. The work of Jesus Christ. Living a complete, perfect, sinless life. Being crucified on a cross between two thieves. And one of those thieves kept hearing those people out there talking about him being king, Jesus. He claimed all these different things. He said, "Lord, remember me when you get into your kingdom." There are three men dying on a cross. I don't think there's hardly a type of death worse than crucifixion. And Jesus says to him, "Today shall thou be with me in paradise." Wow. He didn't get to pray a sinner's prayer. He didn't get baptized in water. He never joined a church. But we have it on the Word of God, Jesus Christ's Word, he's in heaven.
Amen.
What you need is the righteousness of Jesus Christ at your account. Now, you may have been a member of a church for many years, but you might not be saved. You may have lived a fairly good life, but you might not be saved. You need to take Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You need to take His righteousness as your only hope of getting into heaven. And you need to ask God for mercy. God, don't go to God with justice. You don't stand a chance. You need to go to God and say, "God, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. Have mercy upon me, Lord."
Amen.
And take Christ as your Savior. Let Him change your life. Father, use your word to touch hearts and lives. Lord, save souls if there's souls here that need to be saved. Lord, we just pray that your blessing will rest upon your word and the gift of God. What a great gift, Lord. His forgiveness of sins and salvation, eternal life. All is a gift. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.